Hey, everybody, in this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, we're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 3, Zari. That's what we're going to do.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is not the place we thought it was going to start.
And
go.
No. Here we go.
Yeah, there is the joke. There it is.
Yeah. Don't go chasing those waterfalls, because what happens? You end up running into a stone cold assassin. Time bent on ridding you of your very sacred totem. That's all the fun that we're going to be talking about right here in the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. Of course, we're breaking down every episode of this new series, bringing back, returning Tuesday nights here for its third season on the CW. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
Double
the pleasure.
All the social.
Double the not fun.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on all the Twitters and Instagrams and your favorite flavors in the world. And also go to DaveChild.com. I'm Dave Child.
I'm not Dave Child, but I am Lucretia Lyon, so you guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I was a little confused as to what day it was when Frank started this show, when he's like, Stone Cold Assassin. I'm like, crap, is it Sunday?
Oh, that's right, yes. Allusion to some hot goings on in General Hospital right now today.
Oh, boy. We're not here to talk about General Hospital.
But Dave will be joining us on Sunday because he loves talking GH.
No.
Yeah. You love your soaps.
No. Your this is the only soap I watch is Legends of Tomorrow.
And of course, folks, you know what? You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. For all that's dear and holy in this world, please do that.
Big ups to Big ups to Lex, who's homesick, dying from a lack of 5-star reviews. So,
if
you care for him, just give him those 5-star reviews.
He he FaceTimed with us a little while ago, and he looks so emaciated.
Oh my God, his eyeballs have dried up.
Yeah, y'all know how white Lex is normally. Yeah. He is like literally a ghost.
Yeah,
he's you could see through him, and his room is messy. And I get to see behind him. Ugh. Oh, we got the Legend of Tomorrow things up. Look at that.
Hey, that's what the show we're doing, folks. Yeah.
Great.
You know, you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, too. While you're there, give it a thumbs up.
Give it a thumbs up.
Just do it.
And
Mario Padilla in the chat says they blame Gary for Lex Michaels' absence.
Yeah, Gary.
Gary!
They picked a good name for a guy to show up and just be like, Gary! It's a good, what have you been up to lately name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of like a bumbling incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's either that or Frank, one of the two.
Well, Frank, it's like, Frank!
Yeah, that's true.
It's more just sounds like a disappointment rather than a lovable oath. It's just like a terrible disappointment. Someone who just always does wrong is just awful.
That's true. That sums me up nicely.
Yeah.
I'm a constant disappointment, as we'll see throughout this episode. Lucretia mentioned the chat, so that is up and running, so feel free to hop in there and share your thoughts about this episode in particular or anything Legends of Tomorrow in general. Or if you just want to ask Dave Child a question about anything.
Just whatever you want to know. I'll tell you all my knowledge. I've got a vast array of knowledge in my noggin.
That's true.
Not much.
You know, wonder about buying a new car, maybe asking that special someone out.
Yeah, I'll ask her out. Whatever you want. Who do you think I should ask out?
Oh, yeah.
Just let me know. I'm there.
That's right. There you go. So let's hop into this show. We got titled Zari after the new character created by the Legends of Tomorrow's writers for a new addition to their superhero team. Oh, sorry. They're
legends. They're not superheroes.
No.
They're legends. They're misfits.
Yep, they're misfits. Yep.
Don't call them heroes.
They didn't even go to, like, where outlaws were misfits. They just went heroes to legends.
Yeah. Yep. We're not heroes. We're legends.
There you go. Again,
I
always
feels like it's more of a...
Yep. Giving themselves a promotion. Unearned promotion, in my opinion.
Well, hey, you're sassy.
That's...
And just... These people and who they are why we're here today.
That's... Well, we start off in Seattle, 2042.
4 years away from Blade Runner. Yes. Ryan Gosling's Blade Runner.
Did you see it finally?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I liked it. A lot of people didn't like it, but I like it. It's long, slow, like a Blade Runner movie should be. And I actually really liked the story. I thought it was good.
You know, but I felt like Harrison Ford was underutilized.
You know what? It's the first time I saw him act in 20 years. I'm happy with
what you got.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job of actually, like, emoting rather than just showing up and being like, ugh, paycheck. It was, he actually had a pretty good scene.
But I feel like at the climax, he's just there.
Yeah, he was the damsel in distress. It was great. But, hey, we're not here to talk about 24.
No,
that's true. Anyway, what about that? So, of course, we start off in a prison transport. And speaking of handcuffs, we see somebody else different in handcuffs. That is Zari.
Yep.
Yeah, and a really, for somebody that, as we find out through the course of the episode, was just breaking in to try to find a totem, they really, like, locked her down in that transport.
Speaking of locking people down, Star Drew asks Frank, how was Boo 2? You know, because Madea, she's been in a few.
This is neither the time nor the place to talk about such things, Star Drew.
Have you seen Boo 1?
When
you went to see Boo 2?
I have to go see Boo 2. I lost a bet, and I know I need to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch Boo 1 before you go so you know what the story
is? No, I don't want to know.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject.
Oh, wow, that's new. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off
the subject. Yeah, they created this.
We have a very
old
Gideon right in here.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
So, yes, Star Drew, I will see it at some point. How dare you? Anyway, we have our...
That was Star Drew's.
That was Star Drew. Yes, do we have a... yeah. Somebody in the chat room has wandered off topic? Do we have that alert? Anyway, we do...
Let's get back to
the
story.
We'll work on that next week. We'll have it for you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We find out, though, that, of course, she's being transported, and then there is an attempted, what we think might be a prison break, but we find out it's really an assassination attempt.
And to be fair, I bet they're not very sure if it is the totem or maybe it's the person, so they got to... lock him up no matter what. Put away the totem, lock up the person, you know.
In the same place where the totem is. Probably not the smartest
move. They weren't at the same place. They had to break into the place in order to get the totem.
Well, true, but that's where she was being transported to before she busted out.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, because she was in that facility with all those people being tortured.
That's you.
Dave is allergic.
To your beef.
Yeah, and I love Macintosh Harrington said that alarm was created because of our Titanic bet last time.
Yeah, there you go. Might
have been. So we find her. It's Uwasa is the name of that, our water element.
Yes, Uwasa. And she is, I think we mentioned last time, she has been seen before in the CW seed.
Yes, a lot of the chat has been mentioned that Kuwasa is actually a half-sister, I believe, of Mari's Vixen.
Right.
That's why there was that comment. And yeah, this is why we need to apparently watch the CW seed show. I'm like, I need to catch up on
that. The animation looks great on those, what I've seen. But yeah, as she mentions later in the episode, killing Vixen, or Maya, would be like killing herself.
And then she was like, look at my stone.
Yeah.
And it disappeared.
Check me out. I'm gone.
Bye-bye.
But anyway, before she can go in, I did think it was interesting that when you're a water, I don't want to say elemental, but you're just somebody that manipulates water, she goes into the transport vehicle, and then she's so worried about getting shot. I'm like, do you need to worry about getting shot? Because you're... basically just made of water.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how her powers work. Like, can she get shot if she's solid at the time? Does she have to break up right at the moment?
Yeah, is she like a Hydro Man from the Spider-Man comic book where she's always water but then can solidify?
Form into a person? Or is she like Alex Mack and can turn into like a puddle of liquid or the TLC girls and can turn into water? And then
and it was based on true life, guys.
Yeah.
That really happened.
They actually have that. In fact, a lot of people think that Lisa Left Eye Lopez is just in the streams right now, out free. Moving on. I do like her. I did like the fight sequence and how they used her powers. I thought that was kind of fun.
No, I thought that was good, especially on a TV budget. You're always wondering.
Yeah.
That's a water... being or elemental is, I think that's like a hard thing to make look really good.
Right. And interesting enough, did Zari's like amulet, does that give her air powers? Is that what that was, do we think?
Yeah, I mean, it almost seemed like she was able to summon up like a vortex to kind of lift her up.
She kind of lifted up into a vortex and flew away. And then she also seemed to kind of blow air.
It seemed like wind type powers. Very, you
know,
it
could be sand.
Torny.
It could be sandy or it could be windy, but it feels like she was an airbender to me. And then, like, fighting another waterbender, which is interesting because this was written by someone who had written 15 episodes of the Avatar The Last Airbender.
Huh. Oh, nice.
That is interesting.
Because so, yeah. The way that Kuwasa kind of wields the water at some points, very kind of waterbendery in terms of the way she kind of moves her hands and gestures.
And apparently this is very similar to Captain Planet, or at least that's how I can relate to, because Zaytok says, yeah, guys, it's five totems. They say it in the Vixen cartoon, and Ivan Soto points out Zari has the air totem. So I'm like, air, fire, water, heart, I'm guessing. Because, more of Lisa Left Eye's totem would have been fire. I mean, we can ask Lawrence Taylor.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't wait to find out who has the heart one.
There you go.
And then they all
monkey.
Form together.
Who gets
to
the monkey? Who has the monkey? James Egan, by the way, is the co-writer of this episode who also wrote Avatar The Last Airbender.
All right. Okay, now they explain the five Zambezi totems. Ivan Soto says it's spirit, fire, water, air, and earth. I was close.
Spirit and spirit's basically heart.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, there you go. Just like just a pen with just a big heart on there.
Mm. Yeah, it's a big ghost emoji.
And to Zari, especially the name Tomaz as her last name, is very similar to a DC Comics character, Isis. So
which is a very problematic name for a character nowadays. But yeah, so who is Isis in the actual DC world?
Yeah, because I remember this character sort of with Shazam and being more kind of in between Hot Girl and Vixen.
Yeah, because she was brought in like during that right after what Infinite Crisis they did that year, the DC 52,
right?
Kind of like that whole weekly series that kind of bridged the gap to the 1 year later. And she was a character that was kind of really close with Black Adam. She had a brother that ended up getting killed by.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so what was her abilities, though? Did she just have, like, a Black Adam-type fighting ability?
I mentioned flight, strength, rapport with animals, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, like, some wind power? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have to go back. It's been a while since I've read that. I have to go double-check
that. Okay. Everyone Google Isis. Maybe not.
Well, okay.
Don't do that.
Do it at the library's computer, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it on your own personal one. But so we cut back to the Wave Rider, because, of course, Zari has escaped. In that time, as everybody's being incapacitated, she got herself out of those cuffs quickly.
Yeah.
But we go back to Stein on the Wave Rider, and I like Stein was reading a little Brad Meltzer. A little shout out to our author of various DC comic books, as well as just being a well-known author in his own right.
Oh, cool. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
I didn't get a chance to see the title of the book, but I saw it was a Brad Meltzer novel.
Stein was being very science this episode.
Yes.
Oh, he loves science. He thinks science can cure everything.
It's we're seeing a lot of episodes this season, though, where we very rarely see Jax and Stein go on a mission together.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of time separated. Do you notice that? Do you mind that?
I'm minding it less. I remember like previous seasons, I'm always like, why are they splitting them up? But now I guess I can see that they kind of can handle things on their own, especially Jax. So I think maybe that makes the split makes more sense. And they don't want to be a fiery god everywhere they go, especially a place that's the future where metas are illegal. So they probably want to tone down the meta-ness.
Yeah, this episode specifically, it made total sense for them to separate because when they're separated, nobody knows that they're a meta. And if that's an issue, it totally makes sense. But there were times before where it didn't always. It would be obvious that it was budgetary. But I feel like there are more two separate people now instead of just coming together to be Firestorm, which is good considering, you know, Jax initially started off not knowing much about him, and he's sort of now a full-fledged character.
True, although, I mean, the whole big crux at the big season premiere was Jax coming to Stein saying, I miss it. You know, getting together, being a, being Firestorm, to then now being here back in the Wave Rider, and very rarely do we get to see him be Firestorm.
Well, you gotta use him sparingly. You gotta use him, he's the nuclear bomb, literally. So, like, you gotta wait until you need that kind of big muscle. So in this case, it made sense to me.
Yep. All right.
Stein has to go back and use his science abilities to try and save Amaya or try to get into her psychosis.
True,
of
which.
What's going on?
You know, I mean, Stein has a good point that magic is just science we don't understand yet.
Yeah.
But in this case, it did not really turn out to be such the case.
proven by Grand Wizard Bill Nye.
So we do get to see at the beginning of Maya dreaming. She's dreaming of being a spider. She's in up on top of the Wave Rider there, channeling that spider totem there.
Yep, and like one does.
Yeah, and I guess there's that big debate. Like, do you wake up a sleepwalker or not?
Yeah. And we see what happens when you do wake them up. They fall down from the ceiling.
But land with grace.
Land mm-hmm. with such grace.
There you go.
Cat abilities.
So we also get to see that they are Argus is basically the organization that has taken over this, mm-hmm. Seattle in 2042. And they intercept, our legends do, Gary, who happened to be witnessing this potential assassination attempt, transmits a message back to the Time Bureau.
Yeah. I have just been catching up on the show Gifted, so this was kind of a, like, is this the right show? This felt like the Sentinel Force that's happening on Gifted, which is an okay show.
Huh. But I love Matt Nix. I just hope we get more humor. When it's Matt Nix, I'm like, we need more Burn Notice?
Yeah. But in this one, I do like the idea of there's this world that doesn't quite feel right that maybe they're gonna revisit again. Like, and I do like that speech of, hey, when you bring in a force to kind of control something and regulate something, sometimes they go out of whack and they kind of take over the place, and that could be a nod towards the Time Bureau, which they make.
And so this is our third episode in, and of course we see Rip Hunter in the first episode kind of setting up what the new status quo is with the Time Bureau. But mm-hmm. we haven't seen him since. Do you miss not seeing him on a regular basis? Or do you feel like if he was around and always being kind of being stymied by the legends, it would kind of reduce his kind of credibility?
Yeah, I think he's better as kind of the boss that we're not seeing. And he'll come when it's important.
Yeah, because to me, if we had Rip in Agent Sharp's position, it would just be weird. Him always stifling them. Rip sort of being like, yeah, we need them. I'm going to be over here. Works more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, although you're right. We're only going to see Rip come in for like the... I assume whenever we find out more about Malice is probably the next time we'll see Rip.
I miss him. I like having him around and him like kind of going, oh, those rascally kids. But still, it's save him for when he's needed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, do you feel like the show's... I mean, I know we talked about this last season, too, and it was nice to have Rip as a bad guy. Can I kind of see him explore that side of it? But do we feel now that he's kind of on, at least the side of Angels for, they may not always agree with the Legends, but he's at least on the side of Angels. Do you feel the show has just moved on for the need of having a Rip Hunter on a regular basis? We can just see him pop in...
I think he's good as an antagonist, like as he is, just occasionally coming in and being, but not really a true antagonist. Like, there's definitely something worse out there, but someone to butt heads against, and it adds to a nice little, makes the legends more misfitty, and having like a together company on the side. It's not too bad.
But I also feel like Agent Sharp is like, I don't know if I really buy into her that the Time Bureau is so competent when they have somebody like Gary on the payroll.
Yeah, I know. Why do you have Gary? Gary's just like so bumbling. And you send him alone to like be, hey, whatever's happening in 2049. I know it's like an Orwellian hellscape, but let's just send Gary. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, Macintosh Harrington in the chat says, Malice is secretly Gary. Gary's Kaiser Sose.
Oh, there you go.
Gary.
Yep, that's him.
Look at him go.
Looks like things are getting a little Gary.
Best Gary pun wins a sculpture by Dave Child. let's step up this game.
Yes.
No. The shipping cost alone.
It depends on how big the sculpture is.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't know where my creativity will take me.
That's true. We have to let him be free to express himself.
Yes.
And whatever size that may reveal.
Whatever clay, metal, anything that I can do.
I got some Play-Doh.
Yeah.
One other thing we learned, though, is that in 2042, metahumans have been ruled illegal, and they've been ruled illegal since 2021. What I always find interesting about that is because they find Zari, they track her down, and she kind of escapes, gives them she ditches out on them, just as Argus comes in and sweeps up and goes to arrest everybody.
Yeah.
But I always find, like, who is in there? We've got, of course, we've got Mick, we've got Ray, we've got Jax, or Mick, Ray, Nate, and... Sarah.
Yeah.
So only three. One of them is a metahuman. It
seems like what they call metahumans has expanded. Like, I think it's anyone who does any sort of super science or is involved with metahumans and helps them out. I think they kind of get lumped into the metahuman category in this Orwellian world.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing, because Nate was the only one who was actually a metahuman.
Yeah, you know? And Firestorm, too, I think. Yeah,
true.
But shouldn't we just really call it, like, the Metahuman and, like, Vigilante Act?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Let's send it to 2046. Let's mail a letter back to the future style.
I'm writing this down now.
To the Orwellian government... Cool. Argus and tell them to say it right.
Dear Argus.
Well, it's just like how what happens, I think what sometimes could happen nowadays with enemies of the state could be like labeled terrorism, even though they're not kind of like in that bracket exactly. I think it's just a way to label bad guys in that world.
I feel like you're just generalizing, guys.
That's what they're doing.
No.
That's what the problem is.
Back to this Gary situation. Yeah. We have a few in the chat here I'd like to read. Mario Padilla says, on tonight's episode, our misfits find themselves in a Gary situation. And then Nate Milton points out that we are Gary. We can't all be heroes or even legends, but most of us are average schlubs making our way through time. Hashtag Garoverse.
Wow.
That's I like that.
We're all...
Hashtag, we're all Gary.
That's true. Yeah. We're all outcasts and misfits. That's true. One other thing we found out that's been ruled illegal in 2042, though, is Muslim. It being Muslim is
any religion is actually... Religion is banned, they say.
Yeah.
And so she's happens to be Muslim, so that's what she's also fighting against.
That's interesting note, but I just feel like, it was... We never really got to see much of that address. And maybe that's something we see kind of touched on more throughout the season.
I think they're trying to plant the seeds of building her character. And I think it was maybe a bit of a clumsy way to introduce the fact that she's Muslim. And rather than just maybe have her...
Showing her praying or something that, you know, because like we've seen Jax express interest in faith and maybe it would be a good conversation with them. That might have been a different approach.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see where they take it. And I do like having a Muslim character on the show, though. It's kind of nice to have a bit of diversity there. And also, she seems like a great actress, and she doesn't look... She doesn't have, like... She seems different than a lot of the CW actors that you tend to cast, and I think she's a good addition. She looks like a normal person, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we know she's an expert hacker, in addition to having now this totem that she's going to have access to as well.
Right.
So she does it, which I like is that she's got multiple things to bring to the table.
She hacks technology, and she hacks the wind. She's a wind hacker.
And we'll see, maybe she hacks Ray's heart.
Oh, you think?
I was thinking more Mick, you know?
They're kind of building a Mick thing, if they're doing anything. Mm. If there's any seeds of a ship, it's in the Mick and Zari.
Maybe. But, I mean, I felt like they did it with the Maya. They kind of, like, flitted around for you guys, just necessarily just, like, fun scenes, and then they really dialed in on Nate.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, they could. But also, I kind of want to see a team-up between Mick and Zari, because if she has wind powers, that will help his flame gun do cool things.
That's true.
So that would be kind of a little cool little team up there.
Well, that would be really cool to see that.
Yeah.
One thing that we do get to see, though, is as they track her down, we get to see Ray's terrible costume as they try to go to a bar in 2042 to find...
Oh, his eye patch and soul patch?
Hey,
if you guys are looking for a last-minute Halloween costume... Try the double patch, the Ray's double patch.
I called him the Sugar Ray, throwback to the 90s there. But that was an awesome costume, and I'm starting to rethink my Space Ghost one.
It's certainly cheaper going Ray's route.
Yeah.
And boy, that was a weird joke.
The fact that they got let him leave, they all walked out of the Wave Rider together. They all walked out of that bar, and nobody calls it out until they get inside.
Oh, no, he put it in his pocket. And he was like, this I'm going to surprise them with. He's like, hey, guys, you guys go ahead. A boom. Long soul patch, too.
And the fact that he had to cover it up and lift up the eye patch for Zari, just like, because you probably couldn't recognize me. Otherwise.
I think that is prejudice against people who have soul patches and eye patches. To imply that you need to lift them and hide them in order to see that you're a good guy. Plenty of people with soul patches are good people. Soul patches are just beards that haven't grown in yet.
The more you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm helping one soul patch at a time.
M.R. Dave Child.
Yes.
Somebody that is rocking a,
Happy go,
a
Jackie.
Fantastic beard right there. Would you consider taking it down to a soul patch?
No, it would look terrible.
How do we know?
But I wouldn't be a bad guy.
Yeah.
I'd just be, I would do a soul patch if it also had the mustache on top of it. You need to have the, like, wider look.
All right. Need the full gold bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just let this go, maybe braid it?
Just this little, like...
Just that? Perfect. Put it in a braid? Mm-hmm. And would you also consider an eye patch?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just for no other reason. Just all of a sudden we see Dave rocking an eye patch all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I want an eye patch, though, that's just, like, floating. That's just here and has, like, two nails on either side. Two screws. So just, like, this metal eye patch.
That's perfect. I love it. So we as they're in the bar, though, we do get to see Kwasa shows up. And we get to see a fight between her and Sarah, and very rarely do you get to see Sarah getting her butt handed to her.
Yeah.
But this time, it was she got a beatdown.
Yeah, that was a nice little fight. I think that's good. She seems to be an expert of martial arts.
Very true. Mm-hmm. So not just relying on those water abilities as
not
well.
Not just the water lady.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of other abilities.
Yeah, and apparently Ray fought Kwasa on Vixen. And
right,
that's
which is
what,
why he said, I fought a lady with water powers back in the day.
Yeah, similar. But yeah, it's like, is this like maybe she looks different? I don't know. Because a lot of people are speculating, why would he not recognize her?
Because he was a cartoon at the time.
And he can't be expected to remember cartoon stuff.
People look different in the third dimension.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's true.
Two-dimensional world transition.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe he'll reveal that information next week, because I think that would be a very easy way for them to figure out, oh, yeah, she's tied into Vixen's totem. Oh, wait, she's the half-sister. Oh, wait, okay.
Or apparently a full sister. I don't know. I've seen both. But,
right.
I'm going to go watch that CW.
She's got us. And also, I think they're going to talk about it more. I think that's going to be a slow reveal to people who aren't Vixen fans.
Which I know we are getting a 2017 Vixen in the show for at least an episode or two. So
that makes sense.
That definitely will tie in, given Kwasa being back.
The whole Vixen family.
Yeah. We do figure out, though, they say, all right, Zari, if you, we got to, you need to come with us, and we need you to kind of act as bait so we can get her. And she says, I'll help you if you help me get my brother out of Argus. And they go and do a little jailbreak.
And
prison break.
Prison break.
That's right.
Yeah.
They put a tattoo all over Jax.
Yeah.
And send him in.
Ooh, tattoos. Ooh, let me show get tattoos. That's my Rory impression.
That was nicely done. I liked it.
Thank
it was
you.
Like he's in the room right now.
One thing I do want to talk about, if we're going to talk about the Nate and Amaya.
Yes.
Drug episode, drug backstory. I want to say, kids, if you're going to do drugs, this is not the way to do it. I would say someone needs to be a spotter.
Yeah, you have to have a sober person around. Like, whenever you do hallucinogens, it is always best to do things safely when you have a sober person around to do, the things that they need to do in case somebody needs to go to the hospital. Somebody's got to be able to drive. Like, this is, you when you do drugs, guys, you have to be smart. You're going to do it.
Don't
but,
be alone in a time machine and both be high at the time.
Yeah.
But they weren't alone because Stein was there. And I don't know why they didn't. I mean, I know Stein's a man of science, so he probably wouldn't have been on board with such a endeavor. But once they've already kind of committed, just have Stein right there
to
watch
him. He was in the
him.
Back working on his vocal cords.
Broadway. Yeah, that's right. Hello, Dolly, everybody.
Hello, Dolly.
And then Gideon was the spotter, as they pointed out. And I'm like, at least he had a supercomputer, but still.
But still, when he says, like, listen, I'm going to try these out to make sure they work, I just tried them, now you try. For one, that's not how you test something. You have to, like, experience them and then be like, oh, you should know this is what happens. You shouldn't be like, I'm testing it right now, I'm still alive. I'm not high yet, but it should be fine. So let's get high together and peek together. I'm like, that's fine if you have a spotter somewhere. But they didn't really. They didn't because everyone else went out on the mission, and look what happened. He tried to fly the time machine high as balls.
Yeah, I mean, we get to see him walking down the hallway, and mm-hmm. it's like really all, you know, distorted and stuff. I kept on wondering the whole time. I was like, where the heck is Stein? Just say, hey, Professor Stein, we need you right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, to be fair, they asked him, and they didn't realize that Nate would be high as balls. He probably didn't have the sense to actually ask for Stein because he was...
High as balls.
Yeah. I've never tripped before or anything like that. Is that a good position to be in where you're sitting kind of across from each other? It was almost like the William Shatner interview show that he had for a while.
Yeah.
Where they're so like awkwardly just kind of like almost like parallel next to each other. But
yeah,
just a little
just
off.
Perfectly yeah. in profile, yes. both of them. I mean, I've never actually gotten high myself in that sort of scenario. So I've never gone on a spirit quest. No, I think that's a lot.
I've never done that, but I have done mushrooms quite a few times. And never, I don't turn out the lights. You just want to be in a good mood so that things don't go bad.
And have a bucket by you because you could
throw
you're
going to
puke. You could probably throw up.
Well, Amaya doesn't vomit, but she does have her little spirit quest, and she ends up meeting somebody that's like the collective summation of everybody that's ever wore the totem throughout history.
I'm sorry, I would sort of said no offense, but I'm surprised, Dave.
That I haven't gone on a spirit quest?
I know. I love that.
Seems like I should have gone on a spirit quest by now.
Yeah, you have that look in person. I think he's got a few spirit quests under his belt, and then all of a sudden pull out like, nope,
listen, I'm spiritually, I know what my animal is.
What is your animal?
It's a marmot. It's a little marmot.
Really?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I haven't gone on a spirit quest.
Okay. I went to church on mushrooms once. Does that count?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does we're counting who's gone to church on mushrooms.
Okay. Well, I was like, that's kind of a spirit quest.
Yeah, that's a spirit quest.
Close.
That's how you get the spirit token.
Yeah, that's how I got fed that day.
Yeah.
We do find out, though, that this Amaya on her quest, they say, hey, your totem, basically, the problem that she's been having is that it gets stronger in reaction to an increase in the severity of danger around you.
Mm-hmm.
Which also just makes me wonder, like, well, gosh, last season they were only, like, you know, the universe is going to be rewritten as we know it. That wasn't enough to kick that totem into high gear?
Well, she was surrounded by her misfit family.
That kind of helped.
They help out.
They kind of tamped it down a little
bit. Yeah, I am surprised that we haven't seen, I guess we saw it a little bit. What did she manifest when the water, like,
it felt like it was, like, the Vixen logo. That it kind of back thing is a shield.
Oh, so she can pop up shields, too?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Which I never knew of before.
I thought maybe it was like an elephant head or like a stegosaurus head or something.
Yeah, like that seemed more logical, like something like that, where it would be an animal. But yeah, it did look more like a logo or shield or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little Vixen logo, which I've carefully drawn. And completely accurate
you
detail
want Frank
right
Suitles.
There.
Thank you, Mario Padella, by the way, who said, my spirit animal is a giant teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Teku66 says, maybe it was a manta ray? That would be cool.
Yeah, and I am like, because her powers are a little kind of all, because sometimes she manifests them herself, but we did see when she attacked all those, the Belgian soldiers, that they were all... They were getting attacked by animals that were coming out of her totem. So that might happen.
We also get to see, of course, the Time Bureau showing up to mess things up just when you at least want them there.
Time Bureau.
And we see Sarah plays chicken with them, and Agent Sharp backs down.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I guess in our long, maybe it's going to be a season-long arc of them eventually kind of falling into each other's arms.
Do you think that's on the way?
They're so going to do it.
They're going to smash face like they smashed ships into one another?
That's right, yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like it.
But, you know, I'm also kind of like our third episode in of the Time Bureau just kind of coming in and like, guys, you're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. And then the Legend's kind of saying, all right, you know, get out of our way. I feel like three episodes in, I'd like to see some kind of dynamic change in this because it's getting really a little tiresome for me. Kind of
I'm curious to see where they're gonna go with it, and I now that they've added like another member to the team, you know, what is this gonna add to it? I don't know. I'm curious to see where they're going with it. This episode was a little, I don't know, it wasn't as exciting as the other ones because they weren't really adding to it. It almost felt like another adventure, even though they added another character. It kind of felt like just didn't feel like it was escalating the plot.
Yeah, because I don't feel like I'm getting anything new from Agent Sharp other than, like, you guys are screw-ups, and we're gonna here to stop you.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see where they go with it, because they are building something, and I like all the magic-y stuff happening around. They're really building up the magic.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I guess we'll save this towards the end here. I'll put a pin on that question. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to it in a minute. We get to see a nice big battle between Ray decides he's going to try to take on the Kawasa, which, like, shoots her once and then says, oh, that was easier than I thought.
He knew it wasn't over. He was making a joke. That Ray.
Yeah. I didn't like the fact of her just, like, pouring the water into his mouth and nose, though.
Yeah, I do like drowning him with her.
But I feel like, Ray, you've got a whole suit on. You're just going to lay there and not, like, try to activate any kind of electrical device or something to generate
No, man, that would kill him, probably. Because the water was in his mouth. So if he put on an electrical thing, it'll probably zap himself.
What about activate your boot jets and kind of, like, lift you out?
Yeah, man, maybe you'll think about that when you're drowning from a person, you know, with, like, water abilities.
I would, Dave.
You're being a bit of a nitpicker here.
I don't know. I feel like Ray, you know, he's just, he's always played as the chump, and I feel like, you know, you got a fantastic suit on that you should be able to do more than just...
Yeah, but this was a scenario where I think she got the jump on him, and use the one, his biggest weakness, which is the fact that this part isn't covered.
I feel like it's very easy to get the jump on Ray. It's so easy.
Great, but they did it. This one was, like, not the suit messing up. This was an actual trained assassin who was able to get him with water powers at the last minute. So it didn't feel like it was something where it's like, oh, but it didn't work the way I was supposed to, which I get sick of. Because that seems to be what it's always happening. This was actually like someone who just got the best of him.
Yeah, that was eating your beef, Frank.
Yeah. Beef was eaten. Yum, 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 yum.
Fine. We do learn that, of course, Amaya's fate seems to be tied in with Zari's. She needs to be on the lookout for the person who has a totem now and kind of help her out. So what that exactly means, we don't know. But we do know that Nate was kind of bummed to hear that he wasn't the person that she was sticking around for.
Yeah, you know what? I'm putting that on a mic. You know what she was doing. That's cold. You don't start off a sentence that way. Like, come on. Well, you're talking to your ex here.
And they had that moment when, just as they're about to close their eyes and start breathing, where Nate finally does, and then she looks at him and smiles.
Yeah, she still likes him.
Yeah, so just like, stop doing this.
That steely vixen.
And we end the episode, of course, with Zari joining the Legends, and we cut to 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see young... Did you have any doubt, of course, that it was going to be young Ray Palmer?
I don't know. I wasn't quite sure. I didn't know. What I was more focused on was like, oh, nice, slight E.T. music. It's slightly E.T., but not quite. And we're so kind of used to this... Seeing, like, a kid in the 80s running from bullies is... I'm so used to it now with Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And also It.
Yeah.
And the fact that he befriends something that's in the sewers, I'm like, is Pennywise going to join the Legends?
I was surprised that there was no red balloon or anything.
Yeah,
this is pretty on the nose.
Yeah, but it was more of an It kind of reference.
It definitely was. It felt like that. But it looks to be more like it's going to be an E.T. special E.T. episode.
Change that first vowel. It's an E, not an I.
So, why don't we do a few predictions? Okay. About that.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
The question I was going to ask, which I'll ask now, is how soon do you think the Legends will actually hear from the Time Bureau all about Malice? Before or after the midseason break?
When is that? When is the midseason break?
I think it's going to be, like December? Like the first 2 weeks of December, and then after that they jump for a while? So I think that's
going to
be like
9 or 10. To hear about Malice, not next week episode, because that's the Halloween episode. I think the episode after that. I think it's going to be soon. I think they're going to bring Malice back, and it's probably going to be like one of Malice's cronies, one of his lieutenants or something, so it's not going to be him, but you might see like a... Claw come out and be like, get the Legends. I must defeat the Legends. But,
nicely done.
That's a
yeah.
go get him, Gadget.
The sooner the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I felt like that benefited the last season a lot, even though it was a slow burn for the first half of the season with the Legion of Doom. At least you kind of set up the players. So we knew early on. And then finally, I liked it that it finally kicked in the second half of the season.
Right.
So, Lucretia, what about you?
You know, I'm really liking the magic-y direction. So it's a little... Now I'm so happy to have Constantine back in case you guys haven't started drinking yet. I was giving that to you, you know, for episodes 9 and 10. But I'm just like, we need a full-on magic person now.
We're doing a lot of magic devices and stuff. Yeah. I want kind of a magic-y person. Yeah. I want something magic.
I would love that. I would love Zatanna, like, to join on a regular basis.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And that's a character that, I mean, there was a brief stint on Smallville, but that's really one of the only live-action ones I've
Or like Tracy 13, which would be cool. She's Dr. 13's child, so that would be cool. Yeah, she's dialed into the magic community.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool one to use.
You can use, as a villain, the Witch Boy.
Clarion the Witch Boy.
Clarion the Witch Boy.
Yeah, or we got Wotan as well, that green-looking guy with the nice, like, you know, the pointed hair, like that, the Wolverine hair.
Right.
Yes.
Etrigan is my favorite.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
And Felix Faust. I mean, he was played by Hector from Breaking Bad and Constantine the show, but that'd be cool.
What if we get the Spectre?
That would be awesome.
I would be totally jazzed about that.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Since they're also building up a bit more of a religious slant in this season to bring in the wrath of God. That'd be interesting.
That would be really cool to see something like that. I'd be totally down for that.
Yeah.
And we've teased Dr. Fate, so to see somebody else actually grab the helmet and do something with it would be really cool, too.
Yeah, that would be cool. And the chat predicts that Lex is actually Malice. So that could be what he's been doing.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
A guy named Lex being a DC Universe villain? I don't see it. Wait a second.
Any predictions for next week's episode? The drum roll's going. Because I knew there was something. That drum roll's coming for you, Dave, because I knew you were about to deliver something very profound.
You have to now.
Yes. Oh, for next week?
Our nice Halloween-themed It show.
Ooh, you know what?
ET show.
I bet that alien is not going to be so bad.
Very true.
I think something else is going to be what is threatening to kill Little Ray.
What's eating Little Ray Palmer?
What's eating Little Ray? Also, next week looks fun. It looks like a fun episode. I'm excited for it.
How much of it do you think is going to be a homage to E.T., or how much of it is going to be trying to play against our expectations and kind of do a twist on it?
I think there's going to be a bunch of Spielberg-y references throughout. I think it's going to probably not even just be E.T. I think it's going to be a little bit of E.T., a little bit of something else, because they love their homages.
Will we see a bike fly?
Yes.
Yes.
Against the moon?
Maybe not.
Okay, but a bike will fly at some point.
Probably not against the moon, because I think that gets into copyright territory. That's exactly when it breaches copyright.
That's right.
As soon as it hits the moon.
So we just like, it's just kind of like maybe the moon's in the background. All right. It should be an interesting episode. And I know, Lucretia, you're not going to be here next week, are you?
No, I'm spending Halloween with my baby brother, and probably a space ghost or Sugar Ray. I'm not really sure now.
It is actually Halloween night.
Yeah. It is. I have my I want to give you guys a treat and be here for you.
Yeah.
We'll see who else
makes it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. You'll be very lonely. It'll
just
be a trick and a treat.
No.
For having to deal with me, ladies and gentlemen. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, you know, as always, like us on Facebook. For everything that you believe in, hold dear to your heart, please give those 5 stars.
5 stars. Lex needs it.
Yes.
Come on, guys.
Give those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Everybody, thanks for hopping in the chat and sharing your thoughts about everything in general. We're really going to dive deep into that Lex theory, though. I really think there's something to be figured out there. But if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Lucretia Lyon, where can they find you?
Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one, and you will see me, Happy Go Jackie, and possibly revived Lex Michael at LA Comic Con this weekend. Saturday at 4 o'clock, we will be in room 410, not 420. I'll get that confused. But come see us live.
Oh, dear Lord.
Cool. I won't be there.
Why not? What else do you have to be doing?
I'm actually going to be at the Austin Film Festival. If you want to, come and see a little short that I've written called Press Start, it's going to be playing at the New Forum Showcase at the Austin Film Festival. So if you're in Austin, Texas, come on by, say hi. That'll be great. I'll shake your hand, give you a hug.
You get a handshake and a hug?
Handshake and a hug.
I will be honest, those are two things in the three seasons of us doing this show I have never gotten.
What?
Maybe tonight's the night. But you can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. I love you. Bye.
And folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back here, at least some of us will be back here next Tuesday night to celebrate a special Halloween episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Maybe.
Speed off.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Swamp.
Swampy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.